And why don't we just pray before we get started? God, we just come before you, and we love you. And we know that your Holy Spirit is here. We trust that you are working. We know that you are working. We see you working in our lives, in our church, and in our community. Even just this last week with VBS here, in our children's lives. And God, we just open up your word this morning, and we know that you will speak to us. And we just pray for our hearts to be open, our ears to be open to what you have to say to us this morning. And we just pray this all in your name. Amen. All right, I'd like you to open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to read from God's word here this morning. Starting in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 23. You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. So you may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If someone who isn't a believer asks you home for dinner, accept the invitation if you want to. Eat whatever is offered to you without raising questions of conscience. But suppose someone tells you, this meat was offered to an idol. Don't eat it out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. For why should my freedom be limited by what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Let's pray. God, we just pray once again that these words that we've just read would speak to us. Amen. So in today's scripture, we have Paul answering a big question of his time and culture. How do we navigate food? What we can and can't eat? To help you understand a little bit about this example he gives, why it's a big deal back then, Jews had very strict laws around certain animals they weren't allowed to eat. And since Christ had fulfilled the law through his death and resurrection, there was no longer any ritually unclean animal meat. So the question was arising, are we able to eat anything we want to now? What about food that's been used for evil purposes, like sacrificing to idols? What if others say it's sinful to eat certain foods? In today's culture and time and history, we may not be asking those specific questions, but I'd like to focus on a different example, a different question that is very pertinent to our time and what we are facing. And that is, how do we navigate the mass bombardment of media we face daily? So, me and my family went to the West Edmonton Mall the other week. And boy, that is a big place. And talk about being bombarded with entertainment, with visual stimulation, flashy lights, sounds, all kinds of stores offering you this and that toy or this thing and that. And rides, water slides, candy, food, every kind of food you can think of. And now I have a 7, 5, and 3-year-old, and you can imagine like trying to navigate a place like that with, first of all, with myself wanting to, you know, check everything out, and then my kids as well. And how do you think we navigated that? I mean, there's one extreme. We could have dropped the kids off at the entrance of the mall and been like, all right, have fun, go check it all out, and we'll meet you at supper time. Probably wouldn't go over very well. I'm afraid even just thinking of the results of what would happen. But the other extreme is we could never, ever go to a place with that much stimulation. We could just hide out at home and not get ourselves involved in environments that could, you know, end in me melting down because I can't get what I want. Or the dangers of the mall. There's a lot of people in that place, and trying to like get through all the crowds, and just those public environments can bring a lot. And either of those extremes could be damaging. I mean, the third option, obviously, I think most parents would choose, is staying connected with your kids, holding their hands, especially in those busy spots, not letting them out of your sight in the little stores and stuff. Finding age-appropriate activities. They kind of help you doing that with like the roller coasters and stuff with the height thing. But keeping them free from all the dangers and all the things that are being bombarded. So how do we navigate this mass bombardment of media that we face really daily? On our screens, TV, internet, phones, social media. Should we avoid it all and just say, this is bad, this new technology that's come out, we gotta get rid of it all, we can't have any of it? Should we just full on embrace kind of whatever culture tells us to embrace? I mean, we can't really go back in time. It's here to stay, and it's just evolving more and more. And so I think we need to just take a step back. Sometimes we don't do this very often. Take a step back and look at our media intake in light of scriptures and really analyze things. Paul doesn't tell the Corinthians exactly what to do in this passage, and that's the first thing that I noticed. He rather makes the reader or the people he was writing to of his time take a deeper look and ask themselves a few examining questions of their heart. First of all, is it good for me? Second, does it benefit others? And third, am I glorifying God? So let's go back to verse 23, where it says, "You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you." So that phrase, "I am allowed to do anything," was actually a common phrase in Corinth. The Corinthians there, who were Christians even, would use this phrase kind of based on a false idea of Christian freedoms. It was kind of a way to say they're forgiven for anything. There's grace enough. We can just do whatever we want now because Christ has died for us. So just don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness kind of thing. And you know what? In similar ways, we say the same thing often. We'll say things like, how far is too far? Or, am I allowed to do this? Is it really a sin? It really isn't hurting me. Or maybe we'll say, okay, yeah, I can see how it's hurting me, but it's not really affecting anyone else. It doesn't hurt those around me. So let's go to that first question that I think is a better question to ask than those ones I just listed. Is it good for me? I remember getting my first smartphone, and I remember holding off for the longest possible I could, because I knew smartphones, it was going to be hard to navigate having all that in your pocket, the internet, with all the social media, YouTube, endless videos you could stream, news getting bombarded at you, TV, kind of almost anything you can think of, really, and 24/7 in your pocket, notifying you to check me, look at me. And I knew, I didn't know to the full extent of what this was going to be like, but when I got my first iPhone 3, I think it was, I really feel like I didn't set myself up for success right off the bat. I didn't stop to ask any really analyzing questions of how am I going to deal with this? What is this going to look like in my life now, having this life-changing device? I just jumped into it, and all the things that it offered, social media, YouTube, things that I mentioned, games even, so many opportunities. And so one thing I faced right away was my need to be valued. Finding value in my phone, in the media. I never stopped to ask myself, am I finding my value in this media, whatever it is? We crave being liked and accepted. We crave approval. We crave immediate approval. It's easier than ever now to get this through media. And it's easier than ever to hide behind your phone or a keyboard and hide your flaws and just create a version of yourself that you think everyone else will like by saying the exact right things, by sharing the right things, by whatever it is, fill in the blank. We can break free from our physical limitations if we want to. We can hide our imperfections and our blemishes and embellish our strengths. I mean, I do this all the time skateboarding. I don't post all the wipeouts and falls. I just do all the great tricks and you see me, oh wow, great. But we can kind of separate ourselves in a different way and create a new version of ourselves. We can even separate ourselves from people who don't like what we say and what we post. We can surround ourselves with people that will only, you know, encourage us or say, wow, you're great, and create kind of an echo chamber of people that maybe justify our life and actions. And this doesn't just happen online or with media or whatever, but I think this happens a lot in person, in our churches, in our communities as well. But it seems that media, the online world, just really makes this even more exaggerated, makes it much easier. We try to take the shortcut to gain value by reproducing what we think others will approve of. I read this book called 10 Ways Your Phone is Changing You by Tony Ranke, and a lot of my material I got from him is a really good book, I'd recommend it. But he says this quote, "Our role models have changed from heroes to celebrities. Heroes take time to be made over repetition of their life. Celebrities happen overnight by outward appearance and are replaced overnight through repetition. We begin to crave this celebrity instant fame mentality. Online attention gives us the tool to do this. Yet it's just an addictive, incapable substitute for true intimacy, and in fact renders true intimacy impossible." I didn't realize how easy it would be for me to turn to my phone to give me my value when I first got it, and now even in just how phones have changed and media and things we see even on TV is so much more bombarding us. You need this, you need to do this to be valued. Sometimes I think of all the messages our younger generation especially are facing daily about their value and worth, about what they have to produce and how they need to perform to be valued. And it's almost everywhere they turn, especially in our society. And I was reminded this one night at youth group. I texted one of our youth specifically about the events of that night and didn't hear back from them for like 20 minutes. And then I saw them at youth and I said, hey, like, did you get my text? And they pull open their phone and I watched as they're, you know, on the front of your phone, it shows all your notifications, and they're just like scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Oh, there it is, way down there. I was like, oh man, someone's more popular than me. I don't get that many notifications. But it's crazy, the stats are actually crazy for how many notifications keep popping up. And maybe for you, it's not on your phone or social media, but maybe it's just whatever media you have. It's just so in our face. And I have a few of these stats up here. So 237 is the average number of notifications teens receive daily. And that made more sense to me then. I was like, okay, yeah. If you miss one of those, it's gone. 5 hours a day teens spend on social media. 9 hours a day teens spend on screens. And maybe you think, wow, that's terrible. But have you checked your screen time lately? It isn't just teenagers. The average person checks their phone 144 times a day. So that's you and me. It's easy to see the dangers for our kids and teenagers, but it's a lot harder to step back and take an honest look at ourselves. For most of us, media has become a main influencer in our lives. And the problem with seeking our value from media, or any outside source for that matter, is it leads to enslavement. Earlier, if you go back a few chapters in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it repeats this common saying, I am allowed to do anything. But it adds another detail. It says, even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. So there's things that are even maybe good that I'm allowed to do, that it doesn't say this is a sin. But it's acknowledging we can even become enslaved to good things. When we are asking ourselves, is it good for me? An important question to ask ourselves is, am I being enslaved to it or by it? Becoming enslaved to something doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow process that usually goes unnoticed and builds over time. And like I said, often can start with these good desires, but they take over our best desires, the best things. James says that temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. And these desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So you notice here that the desires aren't necessarily what's sinful, but it can lead to things that aren't good for us, that are sin. And so our habits we create out of our desires, if left unchecked, can lead to sin and eventually death. And I think that means essentially like spiritual death, maybe death to the things that are important to us, like relationships. We often go down this road and unknowingly turn to media to fulfill our desires, even our good ones. And one way we do this is we desire to feel good. I think we all have a desire to be happy, to feel joy in life. And something we can do is we can turn to media to feel good, to get rid of those bad things. Another question to ask yourself is, what am I constantly going to when I'm sad, when I'm mad, when I'm stressed, when I'm anxious, when I'm afraid? I did this even this week. All of a sudden, as I'm preparing my sermon, sometimes I have uncomfortable feelings come up, and I just like went to my phone, and I was like, wait, why am I going to my phone? Oh yeah, I'm uneasy about whatever it is, maybe how this is going to come across this morning. And you want to just immediately get rid of that, and you know your phone is a good way to get rid of bad feelings, because you instantly go there and there's tons of stuff to make you feel good. Kind of like that mall illustration. How do I attempt to get rid of these unwanted emotions that arise from my circumstances? And I've noticed this more and more as I've been dealing with stuff, content like this, learning about myself and learning about my phone and how hard it is to navigate. And I've started trying different measures, sometimes extreme ones, to keep myself from going to my phone or going to whatever it is, a show or this or that. And one thing that's actually helped me that I've kind of landed on, and I've been really trying this, is staying away from my phone specifically. I feel like my phone is the biggest culprit because it's just in my pocket all the time and you have access to it all the time. For you, it might be something else. But 1 hour a day where my phone is not with me, specifically like meals. Meals is a good time to be with your family. Our special times, which we do like little quality times with our kids every day, phone away for that. Or family activities, family outings or stuff like that, putting the phone away. So 1 hour a day, 1 day a week. So I try to do no phone for 1 day a week, and that's probably the hardest one. But on our day off, on our Sabbath that we take, trying to have my phone as much as I can on like a table off to the side. And then 1 week a year, and this is something we've recently tried, is like when we go out camping to try to turn off our phones. And it's interesting trying to live your day without even a clock, because we don't just when we're hungry, eat. When we're when we're sleepy, go to sleep. When the sun's gone, that probably means it's late enough to go to But I challenge you to, this maybe doesn't work for you, but try something along those lines where you can actually like have accountability, and if you notice something getting out of control, to do something like this. It's hard. And I think mainly because I've realized my phone in many ways, or media in general, can become a coping mechanism really quick, like I said before, for the stresses, for the fears that you have. And then when you don't have that coping mechanism, you all of a sudden start realizing it more. Like, oh man, I am going to that for coping. And you either have to find a new coping mechanism, or you can go to the Lord with those feelings. Or you can go to a person that you care about that knows you, and share with them those things that you're stressed about. And I think more than ever, in today's society, in my life, in our homes, we are turning to our screens to cope with emotions and stresses and stuff rather than a person. And it's having effects on us. There's a daily time with friends by age group is some information I found from the book called Anxious Generation. It was a really good book as well. And kind of correlates. In the last few years, essentially since like smartphones have been in circulation, the daily time with other human beings has gone down. And let's see how this helps us. Does it help us or does it hinder us? So this is the anxiety prevalence since smartphones. So as you can see, since smartphones came into existence, anxiety rates have gone up. And this isn't just in teenagers, this is in full-grown adults too. Except for 50 plus, they got off the hook somehow. Maybe they're managing this whole thing better than us, to get them to share some wisdom. anxiety has been directly connected to screen time in a lot of research. And I think I know why. I don't think God created us to have that much stimulation in our life, or that much fake stimulation. We were designed to live in community with other people and connect through relationships. And I think when media pulls us away from relationships, that's when it starts becoming a negative thing on our own well-being. And that brings us to the next point. Does it benefit others? What happens when I take out my phone in the middle of a conversation with you? How does it make you feel? Does it make you feel like you're the most important person in the room right now? If I'm, you know, checking it every, even if I don't check it, there's a subtle message that tells you, you are not the most important person right now. There's all these other people that I need to keep track of and not you. And I think this happens sometimes way too often. Maybe at work, someone asks you a question, and you're like, yeah, what is it? You can share whatever it is with me. Or do you put your phone in your back pocket and say, hey, I'd like to hear from you? There's a bit of a difference. Or if you don't have a pocket, set it up on a ledge and ask them, what's going on? Tell me your mind. There's this message that we send that makes other people feel either heard, listened to, you're present, or not. And I think the one that hits home with me the most is with my kids. Am I constantly going to my phone and checking it while I'm hanging out with my kids? And I have to say I don't have a perfect track record, but I'm trying to grow in that area. Because your kids feel it too, they're people. And it's not just the adults in your life that feel that. Are you making them feel like they're the most important people to you? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23 to 24 says, "You say, 'I am allowed to do anything,' but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others." It's easy to look inward at ourselves and lose sight of others. And that's another question you can ask yourself. Am I losing sight of other people in my life because of the media in my life? Because of the things that are captivating my attention? Often, when we are not face-to-face with people, we start losing sight of them. When we're communicating just over text messages or even phone calls or whatever, and we don't have that face-to-face interaction, we sometimes lose sight of people. It's easier to become harsher with them. It's easier to become focused on the wrongs in other people instead of the things that they do well. And then it's easier also to be anonymous. And there's less consequences if you're talking behind a computer screen or a phone, and you don't actually often see them maybe even as a real person. I mean, you just look at the comment sections on social media, if you have social media, and you can tell that people aren't treating each other like human beings there often. they'll share things that they probably wouldn't share face to face. And it's very difficult to link words on a screen to the effect that they have on someone else. A living, breathing person made in God's image on the other end. I just listened to this song this morning that talked about how, man, I'm upset and angry and don't see eye to eye with this person. But when they look in the mirror, they're seeing an image of God. And I was like, oh yeah, that's true. I don't often see that when I'm talking straight or, you know, with a screen in between or whatever. Tony Ranke again says, "The single most determining factor whether something I say will go viral is if I can spark a heated debate. Rage spreads." And then he also says, "Anger is the viral emotion of online disembodiment. Joy is the Christian emotion of embodied fellowship." And this is what brings us to the next question. Am I disconnecting with others? So 2 John 1 verse 2 says, "Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. I'd rather come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete." So back then, I don't know if you would have thought of it, but paper and ink would have been the latest technology of the time. He says he has much to write to others using this technology. He can use the medium of paper and ink to communicate a lot of good. Paul used it to communicate God's word. He used it to communicate solutions for problems in the church and in the communities. Encouragement to other people. He used it to share God's truth. And truth about who God is, truth about who people are. And this type of communication would have benefit others and can create deeper connection. We can accomplish many things like Paul did, but with our modern technology, we can share these same things, encouragement, we can share God's truth, we can share solutions. Think about it for yourself. What way can you use media to benefit others by connecting rather than disconnecting? However, there are certain things that can't be done over phone, over email, online. Technology cannot replace face-to-face relationships. If we try, we end up losing our joy, as Paul alluded to. When we reduce human interaction to only media or phones, we lose joy. Have you noticed often when we are bored, or there's like a quiet time and you're in public and or even private, and someone pulls out their phone because they're feeling awkward or whatever, and then everyone else starts pulling out their phones, and then soon everyone's on their phones while they're maybe waiting for a meeting to start or waiting at the doctor's office or wherever it is, in the church here. And it kind of spreads. But these bored moments, these used to be times when we could connect. We could make new friendships, build on relationships. And instead, we often choose rather to use our media to disconnect rather than connect. Another example is things we often do is we try to confront people online or on the phone. And like I mentioned before, it's just a lot easier to become harsher, to hide behind your device. And did you know God actually created a framework for when someone has wronged you and you feel hurt? God desires connection. He desires reconciliation, not slander, tearing others down. Matthew 18, verse 15 to 17 says, "If your brother or sister in God's family does something wrong, go and tell them what they did wrong. Do this when you are alone with them." So stay connected. It means we need to prioritize when we use media. If we desire to stay connected to others, we need to start with, first of all, staying connected to God. And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to glorify God." If I stay connected to God, then glorifying Him will be the focus in everything I do. And that includes media. What I'm taking in, what I'm putting out. And so the last assessment question to ask yourself is, am I glorifying God? What is glorifying God? John Piper says it this way, "Glorifying means feeling and thinking and acting in ways that reflect His greatness, that make much of God, that give evidence of the supreme greatness of all His attributes and the all-satisfying beauty of His manifold perfection." So ask yourself before you do anything, is this glorifying me or God? Is this making me great or making God great? Ask the Holy Spirit to assess your motives, because sometimes it's hard to tell whether I'm doing this out of selfish motives or truly for, you know, for the Lord. Stop maybe before you get on your phone, turn on the TV, open the newspaper, whatever it is, and ask yourself, will this be glorifying to God? Is what comes out of me dimming God's glory or reflecting His glory back to Him? Be intentional. Ask yourself and the Holy Spirit questions of purpose. Why? And here's a couple that I have. Why am I going to my phone right now? Am I telling my phone its purpose, or is it telling me my purpose? Am I telling my phone how to serve me, or am I serving it? Am I engaging with content to keep up, stay informed, find connection, escape emotions, or medicate pain? Assign a value judgment on all the content you take in. And I've mentioned this before in many situations, but sometimes it's just good to think about things like in light of this little analogy, protein, popcorn, or poison. Is what I'm taking in protein? Like, it's just good for me, like a solid, you know, sermon or podcast or something that's uplifting and gonna make me better? Or is it popcorn, where it's like, it's okay, you can watch this or whatever, it's not gonna hurt you, but if you start living off of that, it might hurt you. Or is it poison, just always bad? It's not good content at all. Trying to figure out putting it into little categories like that. I have a few other resources available to help with this, to direct us, to maybe get us thinking. Some books, just some kids stuff. Good Pictures, Bad Pictures, some of you have heard of it. There's an older and a younger one. I have a couple of these Christian-based ones called God Made All of Me, helping children navigate even like sexuality and stuff like that. I have a whole bunch that are right down from young to all the way to 18 years old. And I think I'd like to put them in the library so we can all have access to them, but I've been lending them all out kind of personally. And just helping with the content that our kids are going to be exposed to. We can't hide it. We're living in this world, and they're going to be exposed to things, and I think it's important for, especially us as parents, us as the family of Christ, to be the main influencers in our children's lives and help prepare them. I have a couple handouts on the info or on the welcome desk back there, and some of them are like family media plans, and this just helps you kind of be intentional with your family, what media looks like as a family in your home, setting the standard for that. And I have a handout too with just kind of different resources of like organizations and people that have gave me a lot of really good information in those ways too. So if you want any of that, you can go back there and grab those after. I also did a little course, like a 3-session course for parents, helping kind of talk through more of specifics of how we can, as parents, guide our kids from young to teenagers. And I'd like to do that again, maybe this in the winter at some point. So maybe keep your ears open for that. But media often tells us the how and why, and rather we need to tell it why it exists. If we don't, we will end up idolizing media instead of God. We will bow to our phones or whatever it is that we go to instead of standing over them and directing them to serve God's intentions. And some of you may be like me, where maybe you overanalyze everything that you post or every text message and end up thinking it, overthinking it, and then not even sending it or not even sharing it. And however, for those of you, I would encourage you to step out and use media in a God-glorifying way. It's actually an amazing opportunity. Like Paul said, there is much to share using his pen and ink, the medium of his time. There is much of God's word we can share on social media, much of our testimony or what we see God doing through text or video or encouraging one another in whatever it is, emails. One thing I've tried to do is filter out the things that I follow on social media, and this can be a challenge, but if I'm going to be wasting my time scrolling, I want it to at least be uplifting stuff instead of just guys on skateboards or funny youth pastor memes. And some of you have actually helped me with this, with what you've shared. I'm like, oh, that is some really good content about how to parent better, and I'll go add that to my collection of things that I want to help build myself up. It's just one idea. We have some people who are using their gifts in media in the church, like the people sitting back there. Samantha made that beautiful video from VBS. There's so many different ways that people are using media to, carry daily is getting our slides and everything working in the back there. And it's beautiful how we can use things like this to glorify God. And many aren't maybe as tech savvy, but I know a lot of you have committed to doing the Bible reading plan on an app on your phone. And reading the Bible together as a church has been a huge uplifting thing, where we can encourage one another by sharing what God's saying to us and being able to do that for a full year. And in fact, I came across this stat that shows that digital Bible reading plans on average help readers be more faithful to their plan than hard copy plans. So another little plug that if you want to, I mean, we're in the middle of the year and you can join in whenever. So if you want to join that Bible reading plan, just let me know and I can get you on there. These are just some examples of glorifying God through media. And so I think just all of this is a lot to chew on for you, and I encourage you to step back every once in a while and allow God to assess our lives, our reveal to us if what we're taking in and sharing, is it good for me? Does it benefit others? And does it ultimately glorify God? So let's bow in prayer. God, we just thank you so much for the words that you have given us. the words that help us navigate life, the words that help us grow ourselves, benefit others, and ultimately glorify you, God. And I just pray that that would be our heart, would be to just glorify you more and more in every area of our life. And we just pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Josiah.